Hello, everyone. Yeah, the teachings of the Inner Ramana are something, aren't they? Yeah. But hello, everyone. Happy Sunday evening. We're actually here for another set of great teachings. Some of you guys remember when these messages were coming. These I call the messages given to Regina and Laurent. And Laurent is in the room. The messages that I'm reading now, to be honest, are messages that were given when Laurent and I were going through a very difficult time. Very difficult time. And so, one of the things that has never ceased to amaze me about my relationship with Laurent, truly, I don't understand it and I never feel like I can adequately explain it, is how devoted we were to each other, while at the same time we hated each other. I never know how to explain that. I mean, Laurent and I went through, at least from my perception, my perception was extreme hate. I think I've talked about this before. More hate than I knew, I was really capable of, I guess. And he says, same here. Yeah, doesn't it feel good to know that we were each seemingly the object of each other's hate? Actually, that wasn't true, though. We weren't really the object of each other's hate. No one, nothing can be the object of hate. Hate is something that is purely within. It's an illusion, which eventually we'll get to discovering that as we go through these messages. It is an illusion. And as an illusion, it can be let go. But before we got there, before we learned that lesson, we seemed to really experience a lot of hate together. And at the same time, this is what amazes me about my relationship with Laurent. At the same time, we remained mutually devoted to our relationship. And we were mutually devoted to our relationship because we knew that our relationship was there for healing. We knew that our relationship was, I'm going to say, an expression of our true desire. What we were really devoted to was our true desire. And but we were devoted together. I mean, that also amazes me. It's not like I was over here hating Laurent, being devoted to my true relationship, and he was over there hating me, being devoted to, his true relationship or true desire. We were hating each other, and yet we were together, devoted. It's really amazing. And again, I just want to thank you, Laurent, for that. So, as a result of that devotion, that joined devotion, right? That joined devotion. We were truly joined and devoted. A lot of wonderful messages came to us from Holy Spirit that were very, very helpful. And those are the messages that we're in the process of going through now. We're still very early in the relationship. The messages I'm going to look at tonight are from very early in September of 2007, and Laurent came to my house in late August. So we're still in the first few weeks of our relationship together, and already messages are beginning to come. So that's what we're going to look at tonight, are a couple of messages. What I'm going to do, of course, is start with a prayer so that we can make sure as we look at this, we are being guided by Holy Spirit, and whatever is most helpful for all of us is, what's being revealed to us as we listen. A lot of people are popping into the room. I see. Let me give you guys a link to the first message we're going to look at tonight. It's actually part two of a message we looked at last week, which was Healing Fear One Step at a Time. Laurent likes the number 37. Same old Laurent, isn't he? He likes 737 even better. All right, so why don't we go and say a prayer, and then we'll start looking at that first message, which I just gave you the link to. All right, here we go. Holy Spirit, what I feel in me is excitement to look at these messages. Not just the messages of tonight, but all of the messages, the entire series of what we call the messages given to Regina and Laurent. And I know that the reason I'm excited to look at these messages and share these messages is because I know from my own experience how much healing can come from these messages if we choose to really listen to them and we choose to put them in practice. We call them the messages given to Regina and Laurent because he and I were the two that sat there together, seemingly hating each other and holding hands and asking for help. But I know that the wisdom that is in these messages speaks to all of us. So Spirit, I pray that you will give us the ears to hear whatever is most helpful to us. Let us not see these as Regina's and Laurent's messages. Let us see them as our messages. Let us hear how they are helpful to us. And let us also choose to put them into practice. Thank you so much for your guidance. Amen. All right. So, 39 people are still popping into the room, so let me give the link again. The first message that we're going to look at is Healing Fear One Step at a Time, Part 2. And if you guys were here last week, then you know that I made a great big giant confession when we looked at Healing Fear One Step at a Time, Part 1. I told you that at that time my biggest conscious fear, right? Melissa's asking if I'm pregnant. When you hear what the fear is, you'll see that it was impossible to get pregnant based on the fear. She's laughing. I guess she knows. My biggest conscious fear at the time, Laurent and I, in a way, we're not yet a couple at this point. We had been guided to join as a couple. We both knew that we were guided to join as a couple. But you need to understand that we also, in effect, were strangers. So when Laurent came to my house, we did not join as a couple immediately. He stayed in the guest room, and we went through a period of, you know, getting to know each other. In our case, it involved learning to hate each other. But we went through a period of getting to know each other. But the guidance that we were to be a couple was there. It was there. I knew it was there. I think he knew it was there. It was there. Lynn is saying like an arranged marriage. And that's kind of how it felt for me, to be honest, in the beginning. It felt like an arranged marriage. You take two people who don't know each other and you put them together. And that's how it felt for me. And at this time, and Laurent's saying yes to that, at this time we were not together as a couple yet, but it was coming. I knew it was coming. And my greatest conscious fear as I sat there with Laurent, knowing that the relationship of our, the form of our relationship was heading in a certain direction, my greatest fear was him seeing me naked. I'm hesitating now because Jasmine's in the room, but we'll just let her say ooh and we'll go ahead and tell the story anyway. Yeah. that was my greatest fear. And I told you last week that the reason for this fear is I really strongly feared that Laurent would reject me. And what I really, really feared was his rejection. But it was very deep. You have to understand, it was very deep. It's not like I feared his rejection because I was in love with him, because at this point I wasn't. It wasn't that kind of a feeling. It was very different. It was more that I feared that his rejection would be an honest judgment of what I deserved, right? I feared that his rejection would be because he saw, truly saw me. And when someone would truly see me, they would know how awful I am, how unworthy I am, how unlovable I am. And you also, if you've been listening to the story, then you know that Laurent and I were going through something at this time, which Holy Spirit sweetly named the killer and the killed. Laurent was, Teddy's telling you to close your ears, Jasmine. Laurent was the killer at this point in the game, and I was the killed. Which really means some of what was going on in the house was already signs of disapproval. Like already he was indicating, not in a mean way. I got to tell you that Laurent was never mean. What Laurent and I did was we shared honestly what we were feeling, because healing was our purpose. So if Laurent was looking at me, for example, and in that moment really feeling, and I got to tell you, it bothered him when he felt this way because he didn't want to feel this way. We were both together to heal. But there were times, for example, when he would look at me and he would really feel that I was ugly. He would tell me this. Never in a mean way. Never in an attacking way. But at this point, it didn't matter because I was still so consumed with unworthiness that, I felt like I deserved. Does this make sense? I felt like I deserved to be rejected. So this kind of stuff was already going on a little bit. Lisa says, yes, it makes sense. This makes perfect sense. Everything I'm teaching makes perfect sense because the truth is it's in one way or another, it's in all of us. So the idea, all right, the idea that Laurent could be the one, to really see me like no one has ever seen me before, to really see me and determine that I was unworthy, seemed like a very real possibility to me. And I was very, very fearful of this because, you know, I was in a relationship with him guided by Holy Spirit, and it was supposed to become a couple relationship. And I guess a part of me kind of felt like I was walking towards my doom. So when Holy Spirit asked us to think of our conscious fears, just one or two, and allow those fears to be healed. This was the fear that came up for me, the fear of being naked in front of him. You can see it's actually quite symbolic. And then what Holy Spirit asked me to do is he said that images would be given by him. I wasn't to think these images up. Images would be given by him to replace the fearful ones. And that what I was to do was to focus on the new images instead. And I was told that the new images were just symbolic. But they were symbolic of my willingness to have all of these fears healed. They were symbolic of my acceptance that these fears could be healed. So I was given a couple of images by Holy Spirit. And what I found was I had great, great difficulty thinking of those images, of putting those images in my mind. And the reason for that, you have to understand, the reason for that is because the fear was so strong. And the fear seemed like an impending reality. The fear seemed like an impending reality. And so I would try and think of the images that Spirit had given me, and I couldn't hold on to them. They seemed to have no possibility in them. So that's the setup for this next little message that we're going to look at when I was having this difficulty with these messages. This is what Holy Spirit gave me. All right, so has anybody else entered the room? No, we only have 38 people still, so let me start reading this message. It's only a couple of paragraphs. Here we go. Holy Spirit says, playing with the images cannot be effort. Playing is relaxed. See the images in whatever way they appear to you now. If they seem distant, weak, and short-lived, do not resist how they are or ask them to be different now. Instead, enjoy what little you do see. Feel that flicker of gratitude in the heart and that small smile upon the face. As you enjoy the little you have, the images will grow naturally and you will enjoy them more. This will create a snowball effect until the images are clear and strong and you can feel them, smell them, and taste them as you want to feel them, smell them, and taste them. Be willing to let the mind rest on the image for only a moment if that is all that is restful, joyful, and natural. See that moment as a tiny mustard seed. Love it for what it is, and it shall grow naturally into the tallest of garden plants, strong and blossoming in beauty. Well, as I mentioned, I had difficulty holding on to the images, and what's really important is to look at the why I had difficulty holding on to the images. I had difficulty holding on to the images because, because I didn't trust I could ever be that healed. That's the honest answer. Because I didn't trust that I could ever be that healed. One of the images, I'll describe one of the images to you. One of the images that was given to me by Holy Spirit was an image of Laurent and I without clothes on, but listen to what we were doing. Jasmine had to say ew again. In the kitchen, just cooking and talking and laughing, not really being sexual. But this image was very difficult for me. And I'll be honest with you, a sexual image probably would have been easier because I'm sure probably many of you, if not all of you, know that we've all discovered ways to hide or fake our fear during sex, right? I mean, you know, some common things are keeping the lights turned down low, you know, not removing the clothes until we're already in a laying down position. One person is saying Viagra. You know, we've all learned how to fake that game so that our fear is hidden. We can try and hide it from our partner. So Holy Spirit didn't give me that image. Holy Spirit gave me another image where it seemed like I could not hide. We were just being in the kitchen, right? Just cooking and talking and joking, but without clothes on. And yeah, Laurent says much worse in the kitchen. It was, I'm going to say, for just again, without clothes. Yes, Lisa. For me, at this point, with the fear being as big as the fear was, it was an almost impossible image for me to conjure up in my mind. Yeah, and Melissa is pointing to the shame of Adam and Eve in the garden. And no whipped cream. This was not, that's the whole thing, is there was no, it was not a sexual image. It was a being totally comfortable image. That's what it was. It was a being totally comfortable. A no more fear image. And I couldn't even imagine that. Can you guys get it? I couldn't even imagine being that comfortable, having nowhere to hide. So it was very difficult for me to hold the image in my mind. And what I was trying to do was force it. And this is what Spirit is coaching me about here. Spirit is coaching me not to try and force the image. The image would naturally appear in my mind because Spirit is the one that placed it there. It was a symbol of healing. And so what Spirit is saying now is don't try and force the image. Don't try and hold on to it longer than you can. When the image shows up with all that it represents, just be grateful for it. Be grateful that you saw the image at all. Be grateful that you saw the image at all. Enjoy the little that you have. If I could welcome that image, it's like giving willingness to be healed. It's like giving willingness to even believe that I could be healed to the point that I would never have to hide again. The whole thing about being naked, the whole thing about being naked is, you know, we think it's about our bodies. It's really about so much more than that. We really are afraid to let someone, anyone, really, really see us. Every bit of us. We hide our bodies. We hide our thoughts. Even from the closest people in our lives, we may tell someone in our life, there may be someone that we trust enough that we tell them 95, 97, 98% of our thoughts and feelings. But it seems like there's always this part that we don't tell anyone, that we cannot share, that we hide. We're so afraid of being seen. And that's what this was really all about. There I was, placed with my killer, Laurent Elie Levy. And Spirit was asking me to allow the image of my mind, of me, being in the kitchen, just having fun, cooking, being comfortable, and being completely naked. So I think probably an important thing about this message is Spirit isn't asking us to force healing. You know, we're talking about a specific practice that Spirit gave me for a time, the practice of holding on to an image. But Spirit isn't asking us to force healing. Spirit is asking us to allow healing. When the image would come into my mind, however weak it was, and at first, you know, it was very, very weak, a very weak image. Just let it be there for that second that it's there. Don't struggle against it. Don't judge it. Don't try and make it more. Just be there with it. And what was really happening at a level that is beyond consciousness, conscious thinking, is that my willingness not to hide was being stoked, like you stoke a fire, right? My willingness to step out and let myself be seen. And to trust that I am lovable. That's really all there is to that message. There's nothing else to say. So what I will do is go to the next message. How's that sound? Nothing else to say. So the next message actually is one I never posted. So what I'm going to do is give you a link. The link I'm giving you will open up a message from September 7th, 2007 that is called Trust, Play, and Blossom. And again, it continues this same story to a point. Continues this same story. Now, I don't remember the specifics of this night, Laurent. I don't know if you do. If you do and if you think they're important, feel free to stick up your hand. Like I told you, Laurent and I were going through a difficult time. And on this particular night, I had a fear. I don't think we were talking about this particular fear, the one I've been sharing with you, the fear of being naked in front of Laurent. In fact, to be honest, I don't think I told Laurent that at the time because I was too afraid to tell my killer that I was afraid to be naked in front of him. So I think that was one of the things I hid. I hid my fear, if I remember correctly. But there were other things that I would share with him. And one night, I had a fear. I don't even remember what it was now. And Laurent was doing something that he thought was helpful, I think. He was asking me to look at it, asking me to look what was underneath that, kind of drilling me, attempting to guide me deeper and deeper and deeper into my fear. At the same time, at this particular time, Laurent was not really crazy about the fact that he still had fears in him. He didn't really accept that he had fears in him. And one manifestation of this lack of acceptance was kind of a hatred for fear itself. So even though on the one hand he was trying to be helpful, on the other hand there was a sense of attacking going on, a sense of fear is bad. You are less than if you fear, you know, some kind of attacking going on. So I was trying to work with him on whatever this fear was. And when he would answer questions, ask me questions, I would try very hard to answer him with honesty. But we came to a point in this questioning on this particular night where it's like I hit this big black dark wall. And by that I mean it was like a safe. It was literally like a safe that closed up and locked whatever was behind it. So that as he was attempting to question me so that I could go deeper and deeper and deeper with my fear, I hit this safe where my mind went completely blank. And I could not go any further. I could not. So this message that we're about to read is where I'm asking Holy Spirit about this experience. This is the next day. So you'll notice the question. I said, I hit a wall last night where I stopped looking at my fear. I stopped being honest because I was afraid of being seen. So you can see how closely this is related to that fear of being naked, right? I'm still afraid Laurent is my killer. I mean, you know, not really. He's my savior. But I like to describe this from the ego point of view because I think it's important to know what the ego story was so that we can see how tremendous the healing is, right? I mean, it would be a totally different story if Laurent and I fell in love, never had a disagreement, always got along, and we still love each other today. There's nothing in that story. It's nice. It's nice. It's sweet, as Laurent would say. There's nothing in that story. Nothing helpful anyway. Nor is it what happened. So sometimes when I'm describing what happened between me and Laurent, the reason I'm describing it is because if you get a better picture of how fearful we were, how much hate we experienced, then you're going to have a much better idea of how helpful these messages are and what a grand miracle occurred in our relationship. Teddy says he's had enough of happily ever after couple stories. Well, at the end of this story, then you're going to have to hang up because I do love Laurent and we are happily ever after, I think, with each other now. You know, even though we're not a couple, we have this deep relationship. But we won't hear the end of that story for a couple years, probably. Okay, so I said to Spirit, I hit a wall last night where I stopped looking at my fear. I stopped being honest because I was afraid of being seen. Remember, it was my killer with a slight killed attitude because he didn't like fear. He really hated fear. He was afraid of fear itself. My killer with a slight killer attitude was guiding me in my fear, and I was trying to be honest and share, but then I hit this wall, boom, and I couldn't go any further. So I asked Spirit, how can you help me with this? And here was Spirit's answer. First of all, your wall was temporary. You can only move at your own pace. And to try to move at another pace is not helpful. Laurent stopped pushing you because pushing does not come from love. And so what he's pointing out is at that particular night when I hit that wall and I, you know, told Laurent that I hit the wall, however I said that, and that I had no my answers, Laurent did stop questioning me and pushing me. And Spirit is saying the reason he stopped is that he recognized himself that what he was doing was not completely coming from love. And so he stopped. So thank you, Laurent. He says we had a nice holding hands. I don't really remember a lot about this night, but I trust you because I know we did a lot of that. So he says, Laurent stopped pushing you because pushing does not come from love. And then he says, you accepted your wall because resistance to self is not love either. And that is true. That is true also. I wasn't mad at myself because I hit a wall. I just knew that was the end of the road for tonight. So one thing, you know, Holy Spirit is doing is he's being a very good teacher, to be honest. A very good teacher will show you what your errors are, as you are ready to hear that. But a very good teacher will also point out to you what you are doing that is not an error, what you are doing that is helpful. And so he's pointing out that what Laurent did, knowing when to stop pushing, that was Laurent listening to his right mind. And he's pointing out that what I did, accepting the fact that I couldn't go any further, that was me listening to my right mind. If I had judged myself for not being able to go further, I would have been listening to my wrong mind. If Laurent had judged me and continued to push, he would have been listening to his wrong mind. So both of us listened to our right minds that night when I hit that wall. And Spirit just wants to highlight that. He wants to show us that we listen to our right minds. So he says, Laurent stopped pushing you because pushing does not come from love. You accepted your wall because resistance to self is not love either. What the two of you did when the wall was hit was perfect. You joined together in love and understanding of how the current moment needed to be. Because of this, the current moment led to this morning and the clarity of last night. And I don't remember what the clarity of last night was. But Laurent says we had a lot of good holding hands. So apparently because we went into our right minds, it was a nice night, I guess. It was a nice night between us, right? And so there was some clarity. Okay, so Holy Spirit continues. Do not fear that you need to move faster than you are or be different than you are in the current moment. Be happy in trust that each moment is perfect and leading directly in the direction you choose to go at the pace that is just right for you. Now, you know what? I think a lot of you guys might want to take this paragraph that I just read and cut it out and hang it up somewhere. Because I know that there is an idea that enters many of our minds that tells us we aren't moving fast enough. We should be doing better than we are. So many of us struggle to awaken as if we are bad because we are not awake. as if something is wrong with us because of our current state of mind. All of that comes from ego. Ego cannot help us to awaken. Maybe there's hate in my mind now. Maybe I experience hate. But if I struggle against that experience, I'm indulging in more ego. If I accept my current state of mind and trust that I am being guided perfectly, even though I can't understand it with the intellectual mind, I'm listening to spirit. Sometimes we feel so lost on this path. We feel like we're not making any progress at all. We're not making enough progress. We look at someone else and we think we should be more like them. We hear some spiritual concept and it looks like everybody else can get it. What's wrong with me? I can't. Do not fear that you need to move faster than you are, right? Whatever that is, it's perfect. Do not fear that you need to move faster than you are, whoever you are, right? Do not fear that you need to move faster than you are or be different than you are in the current moment. Be happy in trust that each moment is perfect and leading directly in the direction you choose to go at the pace that is just right for you. And then Spirit says, stay in trust. Trust yourself always, and your brother will answer you in that trust. To trust yourself is to trust your brother, and to trust your brother is to trust yourself. So, again, Spirit is showing me that I cannot think differently about myself than how I think about Laurent, or I cannot think differently about Laurent than how I think about myself, because ultimately we are that same one. I can project a thought of distrust on him and say I don't trust him. But in truth, that means I'm not trusting the whole. And if I'm not trusting the whole, I'm not trusting the me, because what I am is the whole. I need to trust Laurent and where he is and what he's experiencing, and it's perfect for awakening. And I need to trust me and where I am and what I'm experiencing, and know it's perfect for awakening. And I need to trust all of you, right where you're at, with what you are experiencing, and trust that that is perfect for awakening. When I trust everything, doesn't mean I have to intellectually understand it. But when I trust everything, I am listening to my right mind. And the right mind is always helpful to awakening. The wrong mind never is. So then I asked another question about the images. I said, teach me how to play with these images of me and Laurent in order to heal my own mind of its perceived unworthiness, specifically as it is related to the body, and my hatred and shame regarding the body. So maybe Laurent and I were talking about that fear. Maybe I was trying to share that with him, because now it looks like I'm willing to write it down on paper, and I know he saw what was written down on paper. So it looks like I'm probably not hiding this fear anymore. And this is odd. This is where we already read this. This is where the playing with images cannot be effort came in. Okay, so we already read this. But again, there's a common theme here that is worth looking at, which is Spirit asking me, which I will say is asking all of us, to be gentle with ourselves. I notice Barb has just posted something from 2 Timothy chapter 4, which, you know what, we happen to have read today in our NTI study group here. We literally read this paragraph. Look at it. It says, have faith in the healing process. Do not see it as a race. There is no prize that you should covet. There is only the realization of the beauty of all that you already are. And you know what, Barb, I'm going to take that as a prompt. I'm going to open up NTI 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to read some more. I'm going to read. She's reading. She's quoting from verses 6 to 8 on page 388. I'm going to read all of it because, like I said, we studied this today. Have faith in the healing process. Do not see it as a race. There is no prize that you should covet. There is only the realization of the beauty of all that you already are. Even as you sit reading this now, relax and pay attention to your healing. Know that all is perfect as you experience it. Embrace each opportunity to heal with gratitude, and you remember through healing who you truly are. So, you know, it's great. Spirit isn't saying, shame on you guys, you Regina and Laurent. You came together for healing. You should be liking each other. Shame on you guys, you Regina and Laurent. I told you that I wanted you to be a couple. You shouldn't be afraid of each other, right? That's not how Spirit talks. That's not Spirit. That's ego. We hear that voice, and that's ego. You know, Spirit is saying to us, have faith in the healing process, right? Relax and pay attention to your healing. Know that all is perfect as you experience it. It's all perfect as you experience it. Embrace each opportunity to heal with gratitude, right? Spirit's just saying, relax. Relax. It's perfect. You're healing. Just trust the process. Let's go through this. Come on. Relax. Trust everything. It's perfect. You'll see. Come on. Right? Okay. So that's the end of that particular message then. I don't know, Laurent. You're very quiet when I teach, which I think is fine because I'm sure it's all perfect. But since you seem to have a better memory of that night than I do, is there anything at all that you want to say about the story I've been telling? My memory is a little shaky. Is there anything else to add? If there is, take the mic. If not, I'll pick it back up. Nope, he has nothing. Okay. All right, then. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get the link for our next message, which is called Two Kinds of Meditation. Here you are, everyone. Here's the link to the next message. It's called Two Kinds of Meditation. Oh, and then we get into the the good stuff. Well, not the good stuff, but there are some messages coming, which we'll get into, I suppose, when I get back from Boston, the power of light and the flow. We won't get into those tonight. This message is called Two Kinds of Meditation, and here it is. There are two kinds of meditation. You might say three if we include that which you call prayer, but even prayer can be put into the two categories of meditation. So let's just stay with two categories, all right? One kind of meditation is listening to me, which can also be called feeling me or knowing me. And it's interesting that Spirit would say this because, as many of you know, as a scribe, I can have, obviously, the experience of hearing words. Not everybody seems to have that experience of hearing words. I don't think Laurent had that experience of hearing words. And, of course, all of these messages were for both of us. So Spirit starts off by talking about listening to me, but then clarifies that could be feeling me or a knowing me, right? It doesn't mean that you're going to hear words. So one kind of meditation is listening to me, which can also be called feeling me or knowing me. The other kind of meditation is creative meditation. One is total surrender. The other is utilizing the power of self. Both kinds of meditation have a purpose. I would like to discuss the usefulness of each now. Listening to me is useful because it is not listening to ego. When you listen to me or feel me, you listen to your right mind, which is the mind that knows what you are. Following the guidance of the right mind is always useful, especially when you are still confused about your truth. I recommend listening to me at every opportunity now. Go into your heart and feel me. It only takes a moment. Ask me questions and expect the answer to appear. Let your heart's desire be that you shall know me, and you shall. Now, you know, we just talked about it recently, an experience where Laurent was questioning me, you know, as I was looking at a fear, and then we came to this point where, because I was also, because I was very afraid, and because I was feeling pushed, and, you know, just the whole circumstance, I hit a wall, and I couldn't look at the fear anymore. But what Laurent did at that point was stop questioning me. And Holy Spirit said, you know, basically said that was Laurent looking at his right mind. In other words, he felt within. He didn't hear any booming voice from God saying, stop asking her questions now. He felt intuitively that was the better thing to do, and he did it. That's an example of listening to Spirit. I certainly probably could have judged myself for, you know, if I was trying to reveal to him the fact that I'm hiding, I could have judged myself for not being able to continue to reveal that, for hitting a wall where I couldn't go any further. But it looks like I chose, there was something in me that said, just accept this, accept this, accept that you can't go any further. And I chose to do that. And Holy Spirit pointed that out because that was listening to our right mind. So my experience is that guidance is often like that, right? Accept this. Listen to your brother, right? You know, don't say anything. That's a very popular one. Don't say anything, right? Spirit is guiding us. You know, A Course in Miracles says, you know, that God's voice is speaking to us all through the day. Spirit is guiding us all through the day. And if we want to, really want to, we can pause all through the day and we can listen for that guidance, and we don't have to hear words. It's just a feeling of what's the best thing to do now, right? And Spirit is telling us in this message that guidance is always useful, always. The biggest mistake that we make, of course, is not pausing and asking. We just run with our reactions, right? That's running with ego. So learning to pause. You know, when somebody says something to us and we feel offended, right? Instead of just reacting in whatever way we react, we feel offended, pause. Ask Spirit, you know, what do I do now? And feel in that moment, in the moment, what the best thing is for you to do. That's listening to Spirit, all right? Now, creative meditation seems led by you. This is the second kind of meditation. This may be a prayer where you ask for what you want, visualization, or guided meditation designed to induce a specific effect. Creative meditation can be useful in that it teaches what you are. But it can also be used without teaching this lesson if you are totally unaware of what you are. So what Spirit is talking about then is what, you know, many people would call visualization. So, you know, there's many ways of doing visualization. Like we learn in The Secret, if I want the red Mercedes, then I visualize myself with the red Mercedes, right? Or many of us have been in guided meditations where somebody else is speaking and telling us to imagine this, now imagine this, now imagine this, and we're listening. These are two types of creative meditations. And Spirit says they can be helpful and they can also not be helpful. So let's look at the next paragraph. Spirit says, I recommend creative meditation used in conjunction with listening meditation. Start first by finding stillness and moving awareness into the heart. Seek nothing but to know me, which actually means I can't be seeking the red Mercedes at this point, right? If this is how I'm starting, then notice how the goal, there's not a goal in my mind. I can't be seeking the red Mercedes because I'm seeking nothing but to know Spirit, right? Seek nothing but to know me. And I shall rise within your awareness. Once you are present with me, let desire rise within you. Do not create the desire from your thinking. This is a time of stillness and listening. Let the desire rise from a place of rest. As desire rises, trust it is given from a place of guidance. Take that desire into creative meditation. You may pray for it, or visualize it, or feel gratitude for the gift you know is given. As you use creative meditation with listening, you are creating that which comes from the true desire of your heart. One moment, Jamie wants out. Okay. Get her? Thank you. Dell's gonna get her. He'll let her out. So again, what Spirit is saying is, let me provide the guidance. And then basically, he's really teaching us to trust the guidance, but he's using a tool, visualization. So, you know, a couple of examples that I can think of that have come for me in my experience is that one piece of guidance that I received after writing NTI was not to look for a publisher. Not to look for a publisher. Now, I can't say I had a specific visualization. I mean, I was told that a publisher would be given. So I didn't have a specific visualization because I didn't know how a publisher would be given. I just had this waking gratitude that it would, right? It wasn't specific because I didn't know how. But I just stayed with the trust and stayed with the gratitude. Sometimes the fear, and then I'd have to let go of the fear that I was screwing up by doing that. There was a fear that I was screwing up by doing that, and that I should be looking for a publisher. Right? But when I was in my right mind, I just stayed with knowing it would be. So the idea was given by Spirit that a publisher would be provided. I use creative visualization in the sense of gratitude, in the sense of gratitude and trust that it would be. I stayed with that idea. All right? Now, here Spirit continues. He says, do not worry about the rules of creative meditation. Do not fear doing it wrong or miscreating. Simply trust that which is given during listening, and remember it is from your right mind. Trust what comes when you are in the stillness, realizing your closeness to me without the efforting of the thinking mind. Do not judge or question that which is given. Judgment may seem like reason, but it is ego. Stop with what is given. This is like my friend Donna is always saying, don't add to it, right? Stop with what is given. Trust what comes in the moment, and you shall see that where you place your trust is well-founded. You place your trust with knowing, which is beyond the judgment of the thinking mind. So if we go back to the example of my guidance, not to look for a publisher, that one would be given. I would have been adding to it if I had imagined, if I had decided for myself, well, here's how I want one given, and then I'd visualized a specific scenario. That would have been an error. Now, that's the kind of thing that sometimes we do. We think up what we want and we visualize it. That's kind of what's taught in The Secret. Spirit is asking us not to do that. Spirit is asking us not to do that kind of creative meditation, to listen within. When something is given, do not add to it, and use creative meditation with that. And it could be as simple as simply trusting that it will happen. If I've been guided that a publisher will be given, I simply trust that it will. And when temptation comes up to start searching for a publisher, I remember the guidance and I continue to trust, right? That's the creative meditation. Another example is, you know, Spirit told me in a dream to move to Pueblo. I, in a non-specific way, imagined myself living in Pueblo, and I even imagined having a house, because I always felt like this was part of it. I did not feel I was adding to it. I always imagined having a house that would be comfortable for guests, because I felt that I was to move to Pueblo and that guests would come, right? And I held on to that trust, and I held on to that imagining. I didn't get specific about what the house would look like or anything, just a general, it will be provided, right? It will be provided. Well, I'm sitting here now. But see, Lisa says I need more rooms. Spirit planted the seed, right? Spirit told me what to use my creative meditation on, and I used it just through trusting, right? So again, the mistake we make when we hear about creative meditation, the mistake we make is us deciding how, you know, what do I want, the red Mercedes, what do I want, the man, what do I want, this kind of job or this much money per year. And when we do it that way, when it comes from the thinking mind, it isn't most helpful to awakening, because it isn't teaching us who we are. We may be learning about the power of the mind, but you know what else? We're still thinking my happiness comes from that red Mercedes. My happiness comes from that man. My happiness comes from making this amount of money or working this kind of job. So we aren't really fully learning who we are. When Spirit gives us something to visualize, Spirit knows how to lead us. So Spirit gives us something that won't hurt us, that won't distract us. Right? Spirit gives us something that's leading us in the right direction, and then we participate with Spirit by trusting that. Even, you know, when I was told to wait for a publisher, it was 9 months before that unfolded. When I was told to move to Pueblo, it was a year and a half before that unfolded. So that whole time I had to hold to that creative meditation process, that trust, right? That knowing that it was going to happen. And then, of course, it was given. So two kinds of meditation, listening and creative meditation. And the second kind of meditation is really only helpful if it's a direct result of the first kind, listening. So those are the messages for tonight. I don't think I'm lying when I say that the messages are really going to start getting good now. Once we dive into the power of light and the flow, the messages start becoming very, very helpful. At least that was my experience. Very, very helpful. I will not be here next Sunday night because I will be in Boston. So we'll begin those messages 2 weeks from tonight. I see some yays because of the Boston. Yay! Yeah, I'm going to see you guys there. So 2 weeks from tonight, we will begin looking at the messages, the power of light, the flow. I guess that's really all I have to say. It's a couple minutes early, but Rest, Accept, and Trust is coming. Melissa says, yippee, naked jacuzzi party, but I don't think so. I think it's a little cold in Boston for that. Let's get naked. I hope I don't have everybody run around naked in Boston now. The code is still coming, Nancy, and the code was one of the most helpful messages for me. And so that's still coming in the future. So if you guys are available on Sunday nights, I really encourage you to come and join me because the messages that are coming are incredibly helpful. And through listening to these messages and through practicing what these messages ask me to practice, I received great healing. Great healing in my relationship with Laurent and the love and gratitude I feel. I say for him, and it is for him, But also it's just for the entire process, for Spirit. I mean, Spirit did put us together for that purpose. So, you know, it's all coming. So please come on Sunday nights and join with Laurent and I as we look at these messages again. Okay? So that's it for tonight. I'll see you in 2 weeks, unless you're in Boston, then I'll see you next week. All right, bye.